in the book there. We were in Tennessee, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and this lady came in, and I mean, they helped her get to her seat. She was she either just turned 100 or was right there around that age, and it was George Beverly Shea's wife, I believe. But she was still going strong and following the Lord. But that was pretty amazing. 2 Timothy chapter 2 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And again, it's good to be home, good to be back in the church. And anytime I can get behind the pulpit, I appreciate it. That's, you know, when God calls you to be a truck driver, you ought to be a truck driver. You ought to be a Christian truck driver, but you ought to enjoy and be the best truck driver on the road. God calls you to be a trapper, you ought to be a good trapper, be a Christian trapper, but you ought to be trapping. You ought to be doing what you're supposed to be doing in this life. And if you're a preacher, you ought to be preaching. And there's a shortage of Bible-believing, fundamental preachers in our day and time. Now, there wasn't just a few years ago. But today there's such a shortage, and it's all the things that creep into our lives. So we've got to, you know, you want to get your doctrine straight, and sitting under Pastor McGovern, your doctrine is going to be straight. He will help you, he will teach you, and you don't have to go around changing your doctrine all the time. You know, something new comes up, oh, well, what am I going to do now? Same thing I've always done. And you don't have to keep changing your preaching. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, and the verse, well, let's just start in verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able also to teach others also. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You're saved tonight. God has chosen you to be a soldier. A good soldier. A strong soldier. A soldier that will stand and will fight. You know, Christians don't have much fight in them anymore, and that's sad. And this, I'm not talking about being a brawler. But I'm talking about just standing for what is right. And, you know, the people like in the World War II days, those folks, they just did what they had to do. And they stood up and they were good. You know, the military in them days was just, they were very strong people. Today we've got probably a smarter military, not downing, you know, older branches, but I don't know. We got a smarter military, maybe, but I don't know that we've got a stronger military. We do in the weapons that we have, but those folks back then, Brother Matabuka, we visited with him down in El Paso, and Brother Matabuka said, "I'm retiring this year, Pastor." He said, "I can't take no more." He said, "If we get into war today," he said, "half the army is going to go home. They won't fight." You know, they're too busy doing other things. And that's a sad state to be in. So we need to pray for our military. And those guys are very important to us. And we get in a war, especially on our own land. And you're going to really understand just how important our military is. I thank God for our military. I pray God will bless, protect our military. And we've got to have them, to have a peaceful society is an armed society. And we've got to have a good army, a good army surrounding us. But God has chosen us to be a good soldier. And I want to preach tonight just for a little bit on being a good soldier. Let's pray and begin. Father, we love you tonight, and I thank you so much for loving us. Lord, I thank you for saving me and, Lord, putting me into the ministry. Lord, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for what this church means to me and my wife. And Lord, I pray tonight you continue to bless this work, bless Pastor McGovern and Mary Ann and the children. I pray you'd supply every need they have. And Lord, keep them strong and healthy. Bring Pastor back home safely. And Father, I pray you'd bless the service tonight. I pray you'd have your will and way. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd walk these aisles and you'd convict hearts of sin and righteousness. And Lord, help us all to completely and totally surrender to you this night. And I pray you bless the invitation that will follow now. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at John chapter 10 just for a minute. I want to go back here. I keep checking this to make sure it still says the same thing. John chapter 10. Wait, I can't even find John chapter 10 now. Oh, here it is. It's still there. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. It's still there. And when you get eternal life, it's for eternity. And eternal life. So you join God's army, and it's forever. Now, you know, you've heard the saying, well, I don't know if you've heard it or not, once a Marine, always a Marine. You know that saying, once an Army guy, always an Army guy? You haven't heard that? I want to show you a picture. I want to show you a picture. Our daughter Heidi sent it to me. She said, Dad, I saw this picture. I love it. It's me in a snowbank. Once a soldier, always a soldier. You know, a lot of guys get in the military, but the military never gets into them. But most, I would dare say, when you get in the military stays. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Once a soldier, always a soldier. And when you join God's army, you're in it forever. I understand. We can't show this. Okay, that's okay. We can cut it off. But once a soldier, always a soldier. And God has chosen you. Now, there's a lot of people in here tonight. You've never been in the military, and that's a fine thing. I have a hard time in my mind recommending military to anyone in our day. I love our military, but there's so many sodomites and putting men and women in combat zones together. You know, I can't fight a war while I'm trying to open the door for the soldier beside me. I'm sorry, I can't do that. You say, well, don't treat her like any other soldier. She's a girl. I was raised different. You know, and I mean, listen, my wife can shoot as good as any person in here. My wife can defend herself. And she grew up, 11, there was 11 kids in that family, and they lived in a four-room house. Four rooms, not bedrooms. One bedroom, and all 11 kids were in that bedroom. But my wife's a woman. My wife's a lady. And I didn't raise my daughters to go in the military. And I wouldn't go put them in the military. But when Josh was old enough to go, they're putting sodomites in there and everything else. And if he had been called, he'd have went. But he wasn't. Anyway, but I love our military. I love our military, and I pray for our military. And I'm glad we've got men like Jesse and Micah Thomas in there, and we've got some good military people. And I thank God for that. But our military, and it all goes back to our commander-in-chief. I mean, we've just been on a steady decline for years now, and we've sunk this low, and it's just amazing. But I want to preach for just a few moments on being a good soldier. Now, a nation that draws too broad a difference between its scholars and its warriors will have its thinking done by cowards and its fighting done by fools. You know, America's in trouble today because we threw God out. In America, there's a disturbing disconnect from our military, and we've got to get this fixed. You know, our military and civilians, we all pledge allegiance to the same flag. We're all United States citizens. The military can't do what they do without the the the, the you know the just a Joe the American that works and pays his taxes and keeps food on his table and takes care of, you know, gives the soldiers what they need. But American soldiers and our civilians, we salute and pledge allegiance to the same flag. One of the most powerful forces our founding fathers set loose in our nation was the idea that everyday citizens energetically engaged in defining a future that belonged to everyone and then helping to make it real. America was built on the Word of God, but it was built on patriotism and everyone getting involved. And we need to ignite that spirit of patriotic service again. It's missing. In most churches, I mean, you have a hard time in some even finding the American flag. Where is it? Oh, there it is. Now, not here. But we're in our hometown for the Memorial Day parade this year. We had the vet in that parade again. And in Grafton, when you come into town now, they've got this big thing outside. They're Civil War monuments. But they've got pictures, like we put pictures on the wall here around Memorial Day and whatever. Well, they've got them out on the street, the road coming in, the main highway, and there's pictures of all these soldiers, and they're in uniform and when they served, and it says, "We the people honor," and the first one on the thing said, "Fred Lee Roach." And Fred, my brother Fred, was standing there in his little sailor suit on the deck of a ship, and it was really cute, Brother Sykes. It was, but they got all these military men that served, and it's all over town. And I think it's $150 or something to get a picture of whoever put up there. But it's all the men that died that served there in Grafton. It's just really pretty nice. A wise man years ago, a Roman emperor, said, "Waste no time arguing about what a good man should be, but be one." Let's stop arguing about what a good man should be and just be a good man and do right. We need to reconnect our soldiers, our scholars, and everyday Americans to our government, to our country. Get everything hooked together so we're all on the same page. Now, what's exciting now is there's a lot of people that's getting this. They're starting to get this. It's starting to take hold. People are understanding there's something wrong in our country. Our country is not what it once was. And to depend on others to take care of us, a lot of times that can't be because, you know, we're cutting back on our troopers. And our troopers need help. They need our help. They need us to connect with them and us to talk to them. And it's not someone is breaking in my house. They're choking my daughter. Where are you at? 911. I dialed it 5 times. And now he's killing my youngest daughter. No, they need us to take care of, to solve the problem there. And so, like I say, our world is just changing. But we've got to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Stand up for what is right and do right. And God will take care of the rest. If we just be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we will do right. We will stand like men. We don't run and hide like little girls. We'll stand up and we'll do what we ought to do. But to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, there are two things that you got to do. You've got to do. If you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, two things. Number one, now this is deep. You've got to enlist. God's army, God doesn't have a draft program. You're not going to get a draft notice. It's strictly volunteer. You want to be a member of God's family? You want to be a member of God's army? You've got to join. But you have to want to join. God will not force himself upon you. God will not force you. You know, I hear guys say, "I got drafted. I hated the military." Now, that little picture there, that means nothing to them. The military had them, but they had nothing of the military. They didn't care about being in the military. But you don't get in God's army that way. It's strictly volunteer. I was 17 years old, and they told me if my dad would sign the papers, I could go to the Marine Corps when I was 17. And it's during the Vietnam War, and I thought, now if I get in the Marine Corps, I always hear the Marines get in the battles, and that's what I want to do. I want to be a Marine, and I want to go to Vietnam. That's where the fighting's going on. That's where I want to go. A lot of people say, well, I don't believe in the Vietnam War. I didn't care. I mean, our country was in war, and I didn't really care who or why or where or when. I just want to go. And I want to defend our country. I was taught that from the time I was a little kid. And so my dad signed the papers, and away I went. And I spent my 18th birthday in Vietnam. 3 days after my 17th birthday, I was at Parris Island, South Carolina. That's where the real Marines go. The rest of the Hollywood Marines, they go out on the West Coast. But we had, a Hollywood Marine in here. Is that you? Were you the Hollywood Marine? All right, stand up. Stand up. Let everybody see. Stand up. Let everybody see. Now he's good looking. Now, you got to understand, that's where they send the good looking ones there. But the real Marines, they send down to Parris Island. But I joined my own free will. I wanted to get in the fight. I want to represent our nation on a battlefield. And listen, now that I'm saved, I want to represent our Lord on the battlefield. And I want to do my part. But January 24th, 1976, I decided to join God's army. I was so tired of my life. My life, I mean, I was on a one-way track to hell. I mean, and I was picking up speed every day. There's no way to get off of it. And, I mean, I was as lost and as helpless, hopeless as a man could be. I'm ready to lose my wife, my two daughters. Pastor Josh wasn't born at the time. And, listen, I'd never seen Remington sitting here. I mean, had God not saved my soul, but I understood the wages of sin is death. January 24th, I understood, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. First sermon I ever heard in a Baptist church was John 10:28. I was drowning in my sin. I mean, it's like I'm going down for the last time. And a man named Walter Burrell, he threw one more lifeline to me. And I caught it. And I got saved. God gave my wife a new husband. My daughter's a new daddy. And no more dad coming home drunk. And but I mean, God just changed. He changed our family. I mean, just everything just totally changed. I joined the Marines. It was for 6 years. Three active, three inactive. The first half or the last half of my time I spent in Vietnam, the 3 years. And but I joined God's army. It's forever. You sign up in God's army, it's forever. Forever and ever 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 and as many forevers as you can think of, it goes beyond that. It just totally goes on. And I came to the Lord one night, January 24th, 1976, believing that Jesus Christ died for my sin. He was crucified for my sin. Because of me, he died on Calvary. And because of me, he died, but then he was resurrected from the dead. He went back to heaven. He's preparing a place for me. And he gave me eternal life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's a simple matter of acting upon your faith, like Sean was teaching about this morning, accepting Christ as your personal Savior. But you've got to enlist. When I enlisted in the Marines, I went down to the recruiter's office, said, sign here. And I said, sign it. And my dad had to get my dad signed. My dad signed it. I went down and I signed it. And I became a Marine, and I wanted to enlist, and I did, and I'm very thankful that I did. So the first thing you got to do is enlist. Now this is pretty complicated. Now it gets more complicated as we go. First point, enlist. Second point, and last point, you must learn to march. How many of you were Marines? Marines, did. You had to march. Marines have to march. How many of you are Army? Army, you guys march? They had to march. Navy. Did you guys ever march? Even Navy had to march. Air Force. Did you have to march? A lot. Who am I missing? Coast Guard? Any Coast Guard in here? Well, they had to march too. We had five boys in our family, Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, Marine Corps. But all of us had to learn how to march. Now, before you can march, you've got to know how to walk. You know, there's some people seem like they just have trouble walking. And you get a guy that can't walk, he's going to have trouble marching. Because when you walk, it's not like a mob. Everybody's just kind of doing their own thing. Marching, everyone is in step. But the Bible says Enoch walked with God. After that, he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Genesis 6:9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. So it's like in the Marine Corps, when you learn to march, you're just basically walking, and they're working on getting you fine-tuned to where you can keep in step. But to learn to walk with God. You learn to walk with God, and you realize, I don't really want to not walk with God. I mean, if you're serious about doing something with your Christian life, and you know, a lot of people, they just don't seem to be that concerned with their walk with God. I'm saved, and that's all that counts, and I don't really care. It's all about me. That is so sad. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. God learned to march. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag while he kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. Verse 23. These are the numbers of the bands that were made ready armed to the war that came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. So they're going to make David king now. They're going to take the kingdom from Saul and give it to David. Verse 24, the children of Judah that bear shield and spear were 6,800 ready armed to the war. Ready armed to the war. Now, we're not going to read all these verses, but in verse 25, the children of Simeon, there was 7,100. Verse 26, children of Levi, 4,600. Now, see, this thing is growing. Verse 27, 3,700. Verse 28, there was 22 captains. Verse 29, children of Benjamin, there's 3,000. Children of Ephraim, in verse 30, there was 20,800. The tribe of Manasseh, there was 18,000. Issachar, in verse 32, men that had understanding of the times that knew what Israel ought to do, there was 200 of them. Verse 33, Zebulun, 50,000. In verse 34, there was 1,000 captains, 37,000 men. The Danites, in verse 35, there was 28,600. Verse 36, Asher, there was 40,000. And on the other side of Jordan, 120,000. Verse 38 says, all these men of war that could keep rank, they could keep rank. To keep rank is to follow the cadence, the commander's cadence. Now, we're talking about a total here of 340,822 men. This is quite an army. 340,822, almost 341,000 men. And they were men that could keep rank. They were men that could keep in step. Now, to keep rank, you keep the cadence. And the word cadence means to regulate by musical measure. Did you ever see one of those old Civil War movies where they march this way and this side of, I started to say this team's marching this way. But, and they got a drummer there. Vroom, boom, 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 vroom, boom. That's their cadence. It's that, with that drum beat. That's what that drum, you see a marching band. You go to a parade and there's a band comes and they're playing their horns or whatever. Then they quit. But the drums normally keep playing when they're marching down the road. Boom, 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 boom. It's the cadence. It's a musical measure. I don't know a lot about music, but I do understand that. And it's just like the whole art. They're in tune. It's a rhythm. But these men here, they were men that would not break rank in the heat of the battle. Verse 33, the latter part of that verse says, they were not of double heart. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart. These men were single-minded. They had determination. They were not going to quit. They were not going to quit. And I mean, when they got on a battlefield, they kept rank. They just kept going. There's no stopping them. And you gotta do what you're told. You gotta do whatever your commander tells you to do. When he's saying left, you don't want to be going right. He's saying left, right, left. Wait a minute, I'm doing this wrong. So you've got to do what you're told. I mean, that's what it boils down to, just doing what you're told. You know, when there's a machine gun nest right here in the Marine Corps. Now they taught us that, you know, of course, if you want to take the machine gun nest out, use a rocket launcher or something on them. But when you can't do that, you don't have that, you've got to take them. We've got to get back here, or all these people over here are going to die. But here's a machine gun, and we got to get around them. But we can't get around them. There's too many of them, so we got to go through them. How do we do it? They taught us the secret to overrunning a machine gun. Megan's sitting here, and she's got this machine gun. And she just, you know, and she's killing all of our Marines. And what? How can we get through her? The key to it. See, she hesitated. And you're screaming when you overrun a machine gun. Next, you scream as loud as you can, and you go right over top of them. You say, but they're going to kill you. You're right here. All she got to do is touch that trigger. Yeah, but just for a split second, and her brain's in a twirl, twist. Now she's thinking, this guy's crazy. But she kills me. But here's 20 more coming right behind me. And just that second of disorder in her mind gives the rest of them enough time to get. That's you go straight over top of them. You've got to do what you're told. And when Vietnam, we were taught, when you go into it, you're going to take an enemy compound. If there's razor wire around it, how do you get across the razor wire? You build a bridge. But they're shooting you. How are you going to take time to build a bridge and haul material in? No. You are the bridge. I get to the roller. It was Constantina wire back then. But today it's even worse. But you lay down on it. First guys to the wire, you lay down on it. And the other Marines behind you, they'll step on you. But they'll go through the wire. And we'll defeat the enemy. You say, man, that's going to hurt. It doesn't make any difference. If you're going to win the battle, you've got to do what you're told. There's many things in our Christian life that God calls on us to do, but it's going to hurt if we do it, but we've got to do it anyway. And these were men that were of one mind. I mean, they were in step with their commander. They were in step. So it is with the soldier of Jesus Christ. He or she must be in step with the cadence of our commander, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who break rank walk disorderly. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which we received of men. To have revival in America, it's really not that complicated. We've got to get in step with God. We just simply have to get in step. We cannot march with others who are disorderly. Brother Moffat, would you come up here? Now, Brother Moffat, he's got a good testimony. And we're going to, just for a short time, we're going to pretend Brother Moffat is God. Okay? He's God. And I'm just plain old Stan, and I'm very humble, but this is God. And he's calling the cadence. Okay? We're just going to go down, and I'll march right behind you, and you just get down there and then just make a loop and come back, and you keep doing that front day, okay? And you call the cadence. Okay, all right, God. Back that way. Where'd he go? He's gone. What happened? What happened? I had other things to do. I hadn't seen Lonnie for a while. And God just keeps on marching. God just keeps on marching. Brother Moffitt, come up here again. Now listen, it is so easy to get out of step with God. It is so easy. All right, now I'm going to show you how easy it is to get back in step. Now when he's saying left, I'm supposed to be moving my left foot. Okay, let's go. Okay, I'm out of step. See what I did? Okay, let's go back the other way. Wait, let's start again. Once I get back in step, I can't get out of step now. but to get back in step, when he says left and I step with my right, I'm out of step. But all I'm doing is you just a little skip and you're back in step. Okay, let's do it again. See, it's so easy. It's just a simple skip. He's saying, left, two, three, four, left, two, three. It's not hard to get back in step. We can't have revival. Why? Because our commander-in-chief is saying, left, two, three, left, two. No, listen, we're out of step. God tells us how to, he gives the cadence to keep our families right, but we're out of step. And we don't want to get right. God is marching on. I mean, it's left, two, three, and he's marching on, but we're over here doing something else. God's moving this way. And I'm over here fellowshipping with Lonnie. God is marching on, and I'm starting, hey, how you doing? Good, just haven't seen you for a long time. And God is going on. We've got to be in step. We've got to stay in step. You know, there's a pastor's wife. Pastor's wife has certain things. You know, pastor's wife, they have a lot of trials. You know, when you attack a pastor, you're calling his wife to death. And they've got to learn how to handle that. And they've got a lot of pressure on them. And there's things so a pastor's wife has got to be in step with the Lord. They can't be looking at the people that's saying all these bad things. They've got to stay in step with the Lord. Stay right behind their husband. I mean, marching on, left, right, left. And it doesn't matter. You know, kids, they see preachers' kids a lot of times. They see dad, you know, suffering, you know, people being mean to him, whatever. Listen, dad's staying in step with the Lord. Mom's staying in step with the Lord, but now the kids are out of step. You kids, listen, you just get back in step. Forget about what people are saying. I don't like what our commander is telling me how I ought to dress. You're out of step. I mean, just whatever you want to talk about, whatever God says, listen, it's in the book. You're out of step if you're not obeying. You're no different than I am. Brother Moffat's calling Cadence, and I'm sitting over here talking to Lonnie, and he's going on. What is it in your life? Listen, I preach this sermon in a lot of churches that we've been in, a lot of churches. And every one of them, there's people that they'll come and say, Brother Roach, you realize how long I've been out of step with God? I mean, for years. And it never really dawns on me something that simple. I'm just out of step with God. We want revival. We've got to get back in step. We've got to get back in step. When I got out of the Marine Corps, they gave me an honorable discharge. Now, I could have gotten a less than honorable discharge, or I could have gotten a dishonorable discharge. Now, when we come to the end of this life, if God were giving out discharge papers, what kind of discharge would you get? Honorable? Less than honorable? You're saved, and that's all you cared about. You didn't really care about living for the Lord. You didn't care. You didn't really care whether you're in Cadence or not. You're saved. You know you're saved, and that's all that counts. You don't worry about nothing else. Faithfulness doesn't mean a thing. So you get a less than honorable, or maybe even a dishonorable. Listen, if God were going to give me a discharge at the end of this life, and according to my Christian character in His army, I want to have an honorable discharge. I want to finish this thing right. I got started right. So far, God has blessed me. I've been able to stay right. I want to finish right. I mean, when I cross the finish line, you know, you get in a race, and there's a starting line to race, and there's a finish line. When you get in God's race, you get in God's army, you start going for God, I got to the starting line January 24th, 1976. For you, it may be tonight. Maybe tonight is the night you accept Christ, and now you're in this race for God. Tonight, you join God's army. You say, where's the finish line? It's way down the road at Hebrews 9:27. Maybe it's way down the road. Maybe it's just around the corner. Maybe it's between here and the door. We don't know where the finish line is. So that's why we've got to be faithful. Listen, God can use faithful men. God wants faithful men. God will bless faithful men and women. But we've just got to be faithful. America needs you and I to stand. God needs us to stand. Psalm 94:16 says, who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? We need to get in step with God, so we can march and we can follow the cadence that God is calling. Left, right, left, left, right. And we want to stay in step. And we're going to stand strong. We're not going to turn tail and run. We're not going to. In our church over on the old church building that we had, one Sunday, there was two drunks came in. The door was on the side, and I was up front preaching. And these two guys came through with, I don't know, it looked like a bottle of whiskey or something. And they were just drunk, but I don't know. And I couldn't exactly tell what they were saying, but I mean, it could have been praise Allah or whatever. But they yelled something out. And when they yelled something, I saw them come around the corner, and then I heard this, hey, brother! And like I said, I didn't know if they're saying praise Allah or what they're doing. There's two of them. They got something. I mean, it could have been something besides the whiskey bottle. But then, just instantly, there's this. Come here, Rob. Why don't you come up here just a minute? Come here, Paul. Turn around here. Turn around this. Now, you stand right there just where you're rubbing shoulders. You put it right there. You're rubbing shoulders. Here's this wall of men. Here's these two guys. And just whoom, ran out the back door. And everyone, I mean, they're shoulder to shoulder. Their men's not going to break rank. They're not going to break rank. And the enemy went right out the door. And, okay, you can sit down. But when everybody heard the commotion, they turned and looked, and there was nothing there. It was You say, well, how did they know to do that? They knew what to do. And I told them, I don't want any issues, any problems, get it out of the auditorium. There was a hallway out that way. And the men I heard it. I saw those guys, and then I just saw this wall of men. Boom, right out the door. Just slick. That's the way it's supposed to work. And that's the way God's army is supposed to be. Men and women that will not break rank. Oh, I don't know what they got in that bottle. I'm not going back there. Men that would not break rank. Why would they do that? Because of the cadence that our Savior is calling out. We're not going to break rank. We're going to stay in step with our God. We need warriors. Prayer warriors, financial warriors, warriors in the church, warriors that witness in the workplace. I mean, God's people, we as an army. Men, women, teens, kids. I mean, we stand shoulder to shoulder, and we're not going to break rank. These men that we read about tonight, they were faithful men, and they would not break rank. You say, Brother Roach, this is really child stuff. And you know what's amazing? That's what's got us so messed up. I mean, we can't follow what a child can figure, should be able to figure out. Kids can figure this out. Come here, you little, Levi, Josh, Aaron, come up here. Let's see how smart you are. Come up here. All right, get in line here. Facing this way. Face this way. And you get right behind. No, move out this way. Now turn around. Wait a minute. This is pretty complicated. Turn around this way. All right, you stand right behind him. Not, back that far. You stand back here. All right, now I'm going to call cadence. And when I say forward march, you march and you start with your left foot, okay? And just keep doing the same pace as what I'm saying. Ready? Forward, march. Left, right, left, left, right, left, left, right, left, left. All right, let's turn around now. We'll follow Aaron. Aaron, you're the head guy now. All right, ready? Forward, march. Left, right, left, left, right, left, left, right, left. Now see there, how old are you guys? How old are you? 10, 11, 13. Even a teenager can do it. Okay, you can sit down. It's not hard. It's just paying attention. It's just simply paying attention. You can't pay attention to God and pay attention to this world too. You can't listen to God calling the cadence and listen to everything the devil's thrown at you. So we've got to work hard at this thing. We've got to learn how to march. We've got to. Father, I ask you to bless the invitation now. Have your will and way, I pray.